We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I guess it's mid-afternoon because it's summertime. I'm Kirk Henderson, and today I am joined by contributor at Mavs Moneyball, Matt Martinez. How are you doing, Matt?
Hey, good. How are you, Kirk?
You know, I could think of better ways to spend our Sunday afternoon than watching that basketball-adjacent subject that we just watched. Oof. But, you know, kind of past that, I suppose I'm all right because now we get to like literally look ahead, but you know, this is a daily pod or daily. This is a post game podcast where we are obligated, I think, to talk about the basketball like substance that we just watched. And I'm pretty sure you and I are the only two people out of like the 20 person Mavs Moneyball staff that actually watched this game. Go ahead.
It was a tough watch too, wasn't it? You know, they just first quarter looked like they wouldn't stop turning the ball over. You know, there's just nobody, you know, no cohesion on offense. It's just not something you really wanted to set your eyes upon unless you absolutely had to.
So we knew, you know, before the Pistons game, Jason Kidd said, you know, Luka and Kyrie are out. And then after the Pistons game, he's like, well, so the whole team is going to sit out the next game. So we've known for a couple of days that this was effectively going to be what would happen. And then the Thunder were still really having an incentive to play for the number one seed, which they have now locked up following the defeat of the Mavericks. And so we got to watch this 135-86 game where the Mavericks rolled out a starting lineup very similar to last game: Jaden Hardy, Josh Green, Dwight Powell, Tim Hardaway, and Omax. And Omax was the only kind of bright spot for the early part of the game where he looked like he wouldn't miss. And then several of us that were watching the game live, like Sickos, talked about how he's the greatest player alive. And then he proceeded to miss like his next eight shots. It was a bit of a frustrating game in some respects because the Mavericks were playing without a point guard. They made Jaden Hardy play point guard again. He committed three turnovers in the first quarter, along with three fouls in 8 minutes. And then Kidd basically pulled him till the second half. And that was pretty painful to watch. Josh Green, who since returning from injury has shot 4 for 19 from the floor, posted a team worst negative 44. Jason Kidd just rolled him out there and let him die on the vine. Was 1 of 8 shooting. And in that first quarter, he gave up 3 offensive rebounds for putback buckets and shot an air ball and nearly got a wedgie on a left-handed layup. And then you had Tim Hardaway, who I know a lot of people track his misses more closely than I do. But the Mavericks basically found themselves down by 17 points after the first quarter, even though they were doing some fun stuff. It's just that they're clearly out-talented. We kind of knew this would happen. But it went from being a 17-point game to a 40-point game like that. And then, I mean, what was the – I'm trying to think where I'm trying to find the stat here. The Thunder led by as many as 58 points in this basketball game. That is bad.
Tony. Yeah, these two teams were playing two different games. You know, you want to throw it away. But I tell you, the one thing that sort of caught my eye, mentioned it, was, man, if this was some sort of referendum on does anybody named Hardy, Green, or Hardaway deserve any playoff run? Man, this was a bad audition for that.
None of them. It's maddening too, because you know you go through the top eight rotation guys. So you got Luka, Kyrie. That's two. You got PJ Washington. You have Gafford, and then Derek Jones Jr. That's your starting five. Coming off the bench, you got Maxey, you got Lively, you got Exum. So that's your top eight, more or less. Not a lot of guard play in that top eight, but I think you basically try to play Luka and Kyrie a gajillion, 42 minutes a game. I think that's the playoffs. It's why they're taking off this week. And then if you need to, at that point, you're looking at Tim or Josh Green. And that's like your ninth and tenth guys. And I do think they play. I just like Hardy won't play. But the other two, I think, will play a little bit. And for Tim, you kind of got to have the Davis Bertans rule, where if he hits any one of his first two or three shots, you go with it. And then after that, you pull him. Green, I wouldn't mind seeing a little more from. Josh Green, I think I'm the hardest on Josh Green because I've come around on him a lot, where I used to think he couldn't play at all. And now I think he can play. But his decision making is just often so painful that it's like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
So I'm not, other than that, did you like anything that you saw from any of these kind of more perspective guys?
As this is more of a throwaway thing, but it is nice to see Brandon Williams get to the hoop. I mean, went on a night when nobody had anything offensively, he at least put the ball in the bucket a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Career high 22 points.
Yeah. And he shot the ball poorly from deep, but so did everybody else. I mean, the Mavericks were 8 of 39 from three. It was tough watching Lawson get good looks and Williams get good looks. They just didn't really go down. And that was the case for everyone. I mean, there was one, Morris was the only player who shot 50% or better from three. Everybody else was just real rough. Watching Williams be able to get the cup was nice. The broadcast, you can hear him struggling. Skin Wade actually went on the road. That never happens, but because it's right up in the city, up the road in Oklahoma, they went ahead and ran with him up there. And it was probably for the best because I think they knew they were going to get killed, and Skin's pretty good about filling time. And it was funny listening to him kind of look at the Alex Fudge kid, what a creative player name. Alex Fudge. Yeah, I don't know what to make of him. Hopefully don't have to make anything of him other than him maybe being on the summer league roster, which would be kind of nice just to see how him and Ope, because he's a big kid, 6'8", 200 pounds. I mean, he's a little skinny for that tall, but. He was having fun and playing hard. I do like watching AJ Lawson. It's just his shot when it is awful, or when it is bad, it is awful. There's just no way around it. So, I think we can kind of wrap up talking about that game. I mean, we're at 8.5 minutes, and I told you I wouldn't keep you for more than 15. You're a trooper for even doing this with me. So, since no you know just with the way our podcast ends up going, a lot of it'll be me and Josh over the next several weeks, so wanted to give you any sort of chance to pontificate. What do you think about the series ahead with the Clippers?
Oh man, I guess if you think back to the very start of the season, one of the very first kind of team exercises that you gave us a prompt was how many wins do you think the Mavs will get this season? And, you know, all of our sort of guesses were sort of clumped on the scatter chart in a pretty similar position. I think I had them at 42 wins, you know, and even right after the trade deadline, when you said, okay, well, what does this make you want to adjust your season win total at all? I said, oh, I'm skeptical, you know, maybe only ever so slightly, maybe 1 to 2 wins max. Sure. Would I adjust my season win prediction? I at no point thought that 50 was in the cards, you know, until March was unfolding before my eyes. So it was great to see this team sort of not only get it together, but then, you know, sort of steamroll through March, mm-hmm. Get mm-hmm. some real momentum and start you know, planting the seeds of an idea in fans' head of my gosh, how far could this thing go?
That's right. That's right. I think that's fair. And, you know, one of, obviously, and Josh and I have chatted a little bit about this. One of the things that I think folks who turn into shows like this sort of misunderstand is, like, Josh and I absolutely want them to win every game. Not, and Josh is less of a fan than I am now just because he's his more journalist brained, but I want them to win every game. I'm a fan. And it's better for us when they win every game. And what I see the seed in this. And let's just be realistic and say, all right, you know, as a fifth seed, the likelihood of them getting to the conference finals is not high. It's just that right. Historically your top four teams and then your top two teams from each conference, you're usually a top three seed. And so what you have, if while I absolutely think they should capitalize on like the healthy Kyrie and the play that they're getting from certain guys right now, realistically, this is the team the Mavericks have to close out the remainder of Luka's contract. They have a couple of first-round picks they might be able to do something else interesting for. But this is both the team for now and the team for the future. And what I hope they have found, at least in terms of a team-building blueprint, is the understanding of, like, putting really athletic guys around Luka right. benefits everybody, because Luka raises their floor a great deal. I mean, PJ Washington has had a pretty awful offensive campaign with the Mavericks. It hasn't mattered one bit. One game right. was it really frustrating. And we're gonna figure out, you know, how much that kind of comes into the playoffs. But there's a formula in place, and I think it's a winning formula. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, can the Mavericks do something like this beyond this season? You know, if they, you know, my kind of goal before the season was that I really hope they would make the second round. I just wanted to see them win one series. Now, of course, they're playing the Clippers, and that comes with all sorts of baggage and emotions and feelings. So I'm a little fearful of this series at the moment, even though I do think the Mavericks can win, just like I thought they could win against the Clippers last time. But they're in 2019, 2020 as well. But it's still kind of out there. And I, now that you know, casting ahead, like sort of wish casting towards the future, I think this team, if they, the level of basketball they played over their last 20 games is really, really high. I think expecting that over 82 games is a bit much, but I do think winning 50 to 55 games in a more balanced fashion is realistic, because remember, they started off the season 8-2, then played up until like 5 games after the All-Star break under 500 basketball. And right. then they went on an incredible, not like win streak, but basically win percentage streak where they did a really good job. And so how do you bring the balance to that over more, you know, obviously some of that comes with team health. And that's what I think most Mavs fans would argue and say, you know, you don't have Exum out there. You know, Kidd didn't have his preferred starting lineup that he mentioned pre-trade. He never actually got to use that starting lineup. So there's elements of that there. So it's if you're feeling kind of bullish about the Mavericks, both now and into the future, I think you have a lot of reason to do so.
Yeah.
So
how do you feel? How do you feel about the, you know, the fact that the Mavs are kind of a completely different team now than at any point when the Clippers saw them this season?
Love it, because it means it.
Yeah,
it,
I mean,
the tape that they have from the games that they played is ultimately meaningless. The only thing I'm dreadful of is, well, there's two things. There's first, offensive playoff Kawhi Leonard is terrifying. I don't think Kawhi can defensively can hang with Luka anymore. I think his thigh's too far gone. But offensive Kawhi Leonard is terrifying. Then the second thing I'm afraid of is the Brian Damaris rants coming back to like bite us in the ass in terms of James Harden. James Harden is a much mocked player for very, very real reasons. He's still awesome when he chooses to be. It's the rhythm in which that he plays basketball is very difficult to determine. And then you got like Paul George just hanging out there as like a third wheel who, like, my kind of secret take would be like Paul George is like the final, I don't know. I don't even think the Mavericks could do it. He's going to be a free agent this summer. He's probably going to go to somewhere like Philadelphia or something like that, 'cause they have all the cap space. But like Paul George would be the final piece for this Mavericks team. Like a real offensive two-way wing. Like that's, you know, but that's just me wish casting.
Well, hey, and I guess just for a quick primer, run down a little bit more of what you know about how the Clippers have sort of patched things together and gotten things, you know, kind of going again here late in the season.
I mean, these last few weeks, I think, have been kind of weird because Kawhi's missed, I want to say, like the last 10 games. It's like when you know that and there's some finality to it, it allows their guys who are, like they still have really good basketball players.
Right.
And it's really kind of allowed them to figure some things out here. But, you know, like they lost to Utah. Oh, I'm sorry. They lost to Utah in kind of a maddening game, but they're coming down the stretch here. They lost. So get this. We're probably not going to talk about this too much because it's a shoulda, woulda, coulda. But if the Mavericks had won these last two games, they would have been the four seed because the Clippers lost their last three of the year. But prior to that, you know, you're right. They had actually kind of righted the ship a pretty good amount. You know, they started off the year so badly, and then the Mavericks beat the November Mavericks game. They just have a huge stretch from like mid-November until like probably early March or late February where they actually looked really, really good. And then post All-Star break, they just didn't really have much. And then they won 7 out of 8, most of those being on the road. And then they lost their final three. I don't know what to make of them as a team. They've been playing Bones Highland a lot. You know what happens to the Clippers if Bones Highland plays? Luka just seeks him out every freaking possession.
Oh, man.
Him out of the game. You know? So.
Yeah, they're.
I just don't know what to make of them. And neither in the Clippers people I follow don't know what to make of them. So.
I choose to view that as a good thing.
Yeah. I think it makes for a fun matchup. Like, I
absolutely.
I didn't. There's any team they would have played, I would have had real concerns about. But as you and I have talked about, like, I think there's something a little bit poetic about playing the Clippers and the Mavericks getting over the hump against the Clippers. The only
problem
I have with that is that no one else, except for NBA super hardcore fans, actually understand what those Mavericks Clippers series were and how difficult they were for the Clippers and how difficult they were for the Mavericks. There's a lot because the Clippers died each time after Mavericks because they used so much gas trying to get through the Mavericks. So I don't know. I think we'll probably this week have at least one show where we do a little more to try to figure things out. I also think I'll probably have a show. You know, our fan show where the commenters can come up on stage and talk like you and I are talking, and maybe we can suss out kind of what everybody's thinking about this series. I'm all over the place about it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also, like, as I mentioned in the pre-show to you, I'm also like looking forward to like 4 days of not necessarily having to watch basketball. I mean, I probably will.
Hey, that'll be good.
It's the difference between like tuning in right at tip off versus tuning in midway through the second quarter if I'm not that interested. So It's gonna get interesting. Are there any other kind of playoff both Mavericks or other playoff thoughts, Mavericks or otherwise, that you have before we get on out of here?
Okay. So what wound up happening for the six?
So it looks like the what do we got up here? So we had the Suns, I think, detonating on Minnesota, though that game got close enough in the end. Suns are now going to have to play Minnesota in the sixth seed. So that's the three-six thing that we're going to see, which is fantastic. Anthony Davis seems to have hurt himself. He called a timeout and took himself out of the game. And so that if that's the case, then the Lakers might be toast. The Pelicans just died on the vine today. Truly embarrassing for them. And poor Sacramento Kings. Like, I feel like the Mavericks were the team that effectively put the nail in the coffin for the Kings with those two back-to-back wins. That was the beginning of the end of their season. So,
yeah.
And we won't know. I see somebody in the chat kind of talking about awards. We won't know MVP stuff until second round. So, you know, if the Mavericks happen to lose in the first round, everybody better pray that Jokic wins it, because I don't want to see another. Do you remember the Dirk press conference in 2007?
Oh, my God.
It was sad. He was like, I don't want it. Very much John Snow. So, all right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday to talk with me. Guys, Josh and I will
absolutely
be back at
any
point. Yeah, this is, we have multiple Matts on the Mavs Moneyball staff, and both Matts that appear on the podcast are fantastic. So
yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was fun.
This is a great comment. Captain Crunch, I'm not going to read the rest of his name. This is your last chance to get on ground level for Omax. My man, I was there at Summer League. I thought he was going to be part of the team this year. Do you remember when kids started him in preseason? And it was like against the Wolves. And like,
that was very,
it's like, that, oh, was no.
That was a very relevant Slack conversation, was what will Omax's role be?
Yeah, and kind of non-existent, which is what it is, but I'm really happy that he looks this interesting. He's going to be the guy that by the time next regular season starts, half of Mavs social media is going to have convinced themselves that he's like an all-NBA defensive caliber person, or like a three-point. He can win the three-point contest. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see all gas, no brakes on the Omax discussion.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, thank you once again. Everybody else, be looking for I'll post whenever I do whenever we do some of these shows this week. I'll figure it out. We'll have some fun. But thanks so much for hanging out and sticking with us during this game wasn't the best basketball game, but we're really looking forward to the playoffs. So tune in over at Mavs Moneyball, and be sure to give us a like and subscribe if you are at all interested in that sort of thing. Everybody have a great week. Talk to you soon. Go Mavs.
See ya.